Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Happy Thursday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. We are so hyped to be here. Eric McLean, we have a big-time guest, and he was so good.
Coach absolutely brings it, Coach Seth Greenberg. But before we get started on Coach, I want to tell you guys about Traeger Grills. Listen, they are more than just a barbecue. They are the most versatile cooking tool on the market. You can grill, you can smoke, you can bake, you can roast, you can braise, and you can even barbecue anything with wood fire because of that convection power. Traeger Grills has that 6-in-1 versatility, which allows you to cook hot and fast or low and slow. Anything you can think of, you can cook it on a Traeger. I love doing wood-fired grilled veggies and, of course, the most tender barbecue chicken I've ever tasted. There are endless cooking possibilities on the Traeger. It's so easy to use, guys. I feel like a barbecue pro every time I fire up my Traeger. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC. And once you've browsed around their site and you've selected the pellet grill of your dreams, use our code ACCSports for free shipping on your entire order.
Let's go, Mac. I know your, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up. I know your love language is, okay, I'm just going to go grill. Let me have some time on the grill. And I'm assuming you've got something big planned, I would guess. Mac doesn't need chocolate. He just wants red meat.
I just need steak.
Yeah, you just need steak. All right, guys. ESPN's very own basketball coach is joining us today. Seth Greenberg is an ESPN basketball analyst and a regular on SportsCenter and ESPN Radio. At the start of the 14-15 season, Greenberg joined ESPN's College Game Day, the most popular Saturday college basketball program that originates from one of the day's top matchups. Now, they're doing it from studio. He talks about that a little bit on the pod this year. He is also an analyst on ACC Network's Bald Men Not on Campus, alongside Jay Billis and LaFonso Ellis. Greenberg is also a co-host of a weekly podcast, Courtside, with ESPN analyst Dan Dakich, available on ESPN.com.
And guys, before ESPN, I'm sure a lot of you remember, Greenberg was a heck of a coach, posting over 380 wins in his 22 years as a head coach. He was at Long Beach State, South Florida, and most recently Virginia Tech, where he, including 4 number one wins. I mean, can you imagine beating the number one team in the country 4 different times? He led the Hokies for 9 seasons, where he was 2-time ACC Coach of the Year and reached the postseason 6 times. He is second on the school's all-time win list with a record of 170-123.
Beating number one teams was kind of Coach's thing.
That's what he did.
That's what he did. That's what he did. Coach is going to break down the ACC for us today, so let's get to it.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood.
Coach, thank you so much for joining us. I know this is a very busy time of year. You've got a lot going on. You're doing some stuff from home, but also in studio. So how's it going so far? How has this college basketball season been for you so far?
Look, it's been an interesting year. Obviously, it's uncommon for all of us. I mean, you know, I think in sport, we all kind of get caught up in how the pandemic has impacted us, but it's impacted the world. You know, everyone is living a very uncommon life, and it's impacted people far worse than it's impacted a lot of us in sport. And I think sometimes we overreact. Oh my God, you know, the players, are quarantined, or they're getting their food delivered to their door, or, you know, they're only on the gym 2.5 hours, or all those things. We got families that are trying to, you know, make ends meet. We've got people waiting for their stimulus check so that they can feed their family and pay their rent. We got people worried about being evicted. We got single moms, you know, working a job at home and trying to, you know, teach their kids, you know, and help them in homeschooling. So it's been different, but, you know, I try to keep it in perspective. Our inconveniences really kind of don't even compare to the inconveniences that people are really going through during these most difficult times.
Coach, you're exactly right. And I'm glad we led off with that, because I feel like a lot of people are consumed with, oh my gosh, what college basketball during a pandemic? How are we going to make it? And there's just a lot more going on in the world. You have on your College Game Day hoodie there, or sweatshirt. What has college, because College Game Day, so much of College Game Day is being in the gym with the fans, all that. You guys have done a great job, but you've kind of been in studio and all that. What has that been like with LaFonso and Jay and Reese?
It's been different. It's been different each week, because the first week, we were all together. We were in the studio. At least we could see each other, react to each other, have that more of a conversational type environment. Now, as I joke, we've got Bell's in a box, Fonz in a box. I'm on one side of Studio E. Reese is on the other side of Studio E. And, you know, it makes it more difficult to make it conversational. And the whole idea of that show is to be basically a conversation. And you guys have experienced it also. I mean, it's hard to interrupt people when they're on a 2-second delay. It's just the way it is. It's hard to kind of interject a difference of opinion. So even like what we did the other day on the opting out, that conversation could have been really good, because, again, we all look through things through different prisms. And unfortunately, the way it was set up, one, I talked too long at the start. And number two is that we just didn't have the opportunity to interact. But Reese is unbelievable. I mean, he's so talented. He makes it all come together. You know, to me, he's the guy that makes the show. And we answer the questions. We have opinions. But Reese is kind of the ringleader. And he does just an incredible job kind of bringing us all together.
I love that, Coach. And I say the same thing for Jordan Pornette, who I know you don't like him very much. But, you know, it was weird. That's right.
That big old all-time top locker in Notre Dame history.
He'll let you know that every time you see him.
That's only the reason, because Fonz missed a year and a half, except if Fonz played that year and a half, my guy would have eclipsed that record.
I love it. And you're absolutely right about the TV deal and learning how to basically do TV over, because we're dealing with delays and people being in different places. It was a strange year. And like you said, you're going through it right now. I want to kind of talk big picture about basketball before we dive in maybe to the ACC, and just looking how different this season is. No fans, you know, games being moved, games being scheduled on a whim. Just if you were coaching right now, how would you keep this team together? What things would you be saying? What would be your main, I guess, talking point to keep your players, your staff just sane?
I started the season with my three P's, and I would probably kind of reinforce that almost every day. And first of all, we got to understand we're in a pandemic. So the first P is we need to be patient. Things are going to happen that are out of our control. We're going to have to control our controllables, and that, you know, there's games are going to get canceled. Games are going to be rescheduled. We're going to be at a game site, and all of a sudden the other team has a positive test. Even though we flew to, like, you know, for example, Miami flew to North Carolina, and all of a sudden the game's canceled. We can't control that. We can control how we respond to it. The second thing is we're going to have multiple plans. As coaches and players, and you guys know this, you know, everyone's into routines and continuity. I mean, it's kind of how we live. You know, we're going to eat at this time. We're going to practice at this time. Here's our weights. This is when we're going to be in study hall. This is when we're going to be classes. You know, we like that routine. We're not going to have it. And the lack of routine due to the pandemic, obviously, has created a tremendous amount of inconsistency in play. But we have to have multiple plans. So we got to have patience, because things are out of our control. And we got to have multiple plans, and we got to adapt to those multiple plans. And finally, guys, we're going to follow the protocol. We're going to follow the protocol, because, you know, the protocol is in place for the health and well-being of everyone involved. And that, you know what, whatever the science says, we're going to follow it, and we're going to follow to the letter of the law. And I think that's really, really important. So if we have those three things in place, and we basically hammer in every single day on those three things. And then the other one is just, we need to be appreciative. We need to appreciate the situation we're in and not take it for granted. We're still playing games. You know, we might not be playing as many games. We still have a chance to share these experiences with our teammates. We're still doing the things we've always done. It's just, it's under a different umbrella. And let's not take it for granted, because let's look out what other people are going through. And then I would really, and this is a big thing for me that I've tried to get when I speak to different businesses, what I try to get people to understand is, I think in these times, I would ask my players every few days to call someone who had an impact on their life and thank them. Because in these times, because we are so isolated, I think it's really, really important to let people know who've impacted your life, to reach out to people maybe you haven't talked to in a long while, to let them know that, you know, you're thinking about them, that they're appreciated, and that, you know, you're where you are because of the sacrifices they made. So that all of a sudden you're being a little more inclusive and widening out the circle of people. Even though you're in a bubble, you still have a chance to touch other people. So those would be the main things that I would try to do, because look, you can't have the kids over your house for dinner. You know, pregame meals are grab and go. Your film sessions are, you know, maybe in the facility with a big touch screen in the middle of the gym, and everyone's spread out. The personal interactions that you have, that why you coach, quite honestly, you're void of those things. I mean, every guy I talked to Anthony Grant the other day, the coach of Dayton, and like he said, all the things that their program's built on, family. This is an environment where you really can't do the things that make you a family. And it's really difficult. So, you know, those are the main things I would really drive home. And the consistency in your messaging has got to be important. And, you know, like any team, any organization, the consistency in your vision and your messaging has got to be important. And it's got to be throughout your organization. And what I mean by that, it means your trainer, your equipment guy, your assistant coaches, your SID, anyone involved in your program. You've got to buy into those things, the three P's, the consistency and routine the best we can, and then making sure that we're impacting someone else so we can widen our circle, even though we can't see and touch those people.
That was great. I love that.
That's awesome, Coach.
I'm ready to beat this pandemic. Let's go.
I know. All that being said, how would you have handled the UNC situation?
Oh, in terms of the players?
Yeah, I feel like Roy is having a tough time with all this.
Well, here's the thing, and you guys know, because you guys played at the highest level. I mean, you know, before Coach Williams got off that bus after that Duke game, he said this, without a doubt, guys, tremendous win. I am so proud of you. We continued to compete. We went in there. All right. We made plays we had to do. Everyone stepped up and made plays. Caleb, you saw a big basket. And Armando, coming off a bad game the other day, you were terrific. As a group, you know, this was a great team win. Now, understand, all right, you need to go make good decisions. I understand this is a big win, but, you know, we got to get back. We got to be committed to what we're supposed to do. We have protocols in place. Let's keep our circle tight. Let's make good decisions, because a bad decision can impact all of us. I guarantee you, that's exactly what he said before those guys left the bus, or he said it in the locker room once they were putting their stuff away. And so when you do that, you know, as a coach, you're disappointed. I mean, you're really, really disappointed, because, you know, it's something that, especially now, there's got to be a great trust between the coaches and the players, because coaches are going home to their homes. They've got to have discipline also. You know, it's not like, hey, we just beat Duke, you know. Hey, Roy, let's have a couple of friends over. No, no one's coming over. And so, he's really disappointed. Actions have consequences. The consequences obviously have been that they lost a game. And, you know, I'm sure he has other consequences. But I think the biggest thing as a coach is you'd be disappointed. And, you know, what can you do? I don't know what you can do yet. Are you going to suspend guys? It was their whole team, basically. Are you going to make them run? Yeah, you're going to make them run. But I found a long time ago, and I used to make guys run at 5:30 in the morning, and I'd be there with them. I'd have a pillow. I'd sit there in the bleachers. They'd run like hell. Like you guys are just in better shape these days. Like you said, it's worth it. I have to run tomorrow. Wake up tomorrow morning. All right, I'll wake up tomorrow. I'm going to run. We'll be fine. You know, I think the embarrassment is the worst punishment that they received. I think the embarrassment of their selfish act. Even though, let's face it, I mean, they had a great win. The only human nature is, you know, that's what you do after you have a great win, especially, you know, in that environment where everyone else around you doesn't have the same consequence. Like, dude, I don't know how many people were at that party, but only the players are the ones that obviously are facing the consequence. So the embarrassment of their behavior probably is as good a punishment as anything.
Yeah, and Coach Sweeney used to always tell us in the locker room on the bus when we were coming back, don't let what you want in this small moment or what you want in a small moment affect our bigger goal or impact the outcome of us being able to do the things we want as a team. So I can't even imagine in this climate, in this day and age, you know, what those young men and women are having to deal with. And like you said, it's on all of us to make these sacrifices. And, you know, it's unfortunate that a small mishap is what it is and put games and people in jeopardy.
Yeah, it's disappointing, and more importantly, you put a lot of people in jeopardy. I mean, so how about if the video doesn't come out, and someone gets the virus, and comes into practice. And, you know, coach is 70-something and coach got sick. Or maybe, you know, they see their parents before the next game and their parents get sick. So it was a self-act. You know, I don't justify it. I can understand it. I mean, we're talking about 19-year-olds that have made tremendous sacrifices for 8-9 months in their minds. Even though, I mean, let's face it, if you're a Clemson football player or Duke or North Carolina basketball player, they've made incredible sacrifices. And, you know, we can get into NIL, we can get in pay or no pay, all that jazz. But in relation to the rest of the world, come on, man. I mean, like, you're flying planes, you're getting catering.
That's right.
you know, you're getting anything and everything you want. You're going into the Dean Dome, you're working on your game. You know, there's food waiting for you. You got tutors helping you, you know, in terms of your academics. It's hard, it's unnatural, but I mean, when you put it in a big picture, let's put it in perspective a little bit.
That's right.
So it's disappointing, but you know, let's see what these tests are in the next few days.
Right, okay? No doubt.
Big game on Saturday.
For sure. We previewed that on our last episode, and we'll see if it happens. Okay, Coach, talking about big picture, I need you to give it to us straight, all right? Is the ACC down this year?
Yeah, without a doubt, it's down. And it's just real. I mean, it has to be down when Duke and Carolina aren't in the top, you know, ultra competitive, being thought of as a, you know, 1, 2, or 3 seed. That's two teams that basically always are a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed. So, I mean, so you're eliminating two elite programs from that conversation. Now, I think North Carolina's an NCAA tournament team. I don't think Duke is. So even if it was just Duke, I mean, here you're talking about one of the premier programs in the history of the game, a program that you know, wins championships, is number one seeds, wins ACC championships, and they're not even going to be an NCAA tournament team. So just by taking them out, the league is down. I mean, that's just the reality. The league has decent depth, but yeah, it's down. Is that bad? I think it's cyclical. I mean, the league is so big. We're in a pandemic. They lost so many guys to the NBA, and it's hard to reload. Like the Big Ten, they had all these players return. The Big 12 had all these players return. You know, but honestly, the ACC and the SEC got beat up with graduation and guys leaving early, and therefore they're relying more on young players and it's down. Are there good teams in the league? Sure, there are good teams. Like, I can't wait for Florida State to get back going. I mean, they're a terrific team. Virginia's getting better, although I have a little concern about their overall toughness. That's a concern. Clemson has been really good, and then, you know, they got shut down, and that pause really kind of sucked the wind out of them. And I think teams that are coming off pause, very few can survive that in terms of getting their legs back. And if you don't have your legs, you might want to try to play hard. Like, I went back and watched a couple of their games. I think they tried to play hard. They just didn't think they could get where they wanted to go. And there wasn't that reaction. Like, they lost the step of just seeing something early and reacting to it, as opposed to just, boom, reacting to it. You know, like when you see it and react to it at the same time, it's different. It's like when I used to tell our guys, you move on the ball time, air time to pass. So if you follow the ball with your eyes instead of moving with the ball, you're going to be a step late, your help's going to be late, and you're going to give up an open shot, or you're going to force us to be in rotation. Coming off a pause, you know, you might have that one, that literally, it's not much, it's literally a millisecond that you think before you just move and react, and that's the difference between maybe being in the right spot, not being in the right spot. So they lost their identity defensively. They've given up a ton of points. They're playing better now, which is really just a testament to coaching, because the hardest thing to do as a coach, and you guys know this as former really good players, is when your team goes south, all right, how do you get your team back? How do you get your team to neutral and get them to a green light? And so, like, all of a sudden you're off to this great start, Clemson, and then you get whack, whack, whack after the pause. How do you get your team back to believing they can win, be excited about getting to the gym, understanding that, you know what, it's a roadblock, that was a detour, but we're going to be fine. And I think Brad's done an incredible job. And I think he's a terrific coach and even a better person. So I'm a big fan. But I think Clemson is good. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. But I like that they're putting Amir Sims back at the 5, which makes him a tougher matchup. I think at the 4, Amir Sims is an easy matchup. He's no different than any other 4s in the league. But you put him at 5, and now all of a sudden, All right, you can pull him away from the basket. He becomes a point center. He can drive people from up there. He can beat people up the floor. He can use his quickness to get to the glass. So, you know, I think Clemson's going to be fine. Pitt has gotten better. They're kind of hit or miss. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you look at Pitt team. I love how hard they play. I love they have the chip on their shoulder. I love their toughness. But, you know, they're inconsistent. I mean, just the way it is. Virginia Tech, to me, I think they're really good. I'm not sure how much better they can get because they have a maturity. They have a toughness. They've got a physicality. They're not overly talented, but they got a number of different guys that can beat you. I mean, Hunter Couture, the shot he made the other day, and great execution of a mature team. Mike's a terrific coach. He's a really good coach. So, you know, Virginia's very good. So the league is good. It's just not, it's not what it usually is. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and cycles obviously happen and various reasons for why they're not. Let's look at the top dog, at least playing right now, in Virginia. And I heard you just say you're a little bit worried about their lack of toughness. How does this team overall, do you think, compare? I mean, they are still the defending champion. We haven't had a champ in a year and some change. How do you compare them to UVA teams of past?
They're much better offensively. I mean, and they changed their offense. They went from mover blocker and ball screen continuity, this five out, I call it read and react. Now it's grown. It's basically a offshoot of motion. It's grown. And I love what Tony's done offensively because he's basically taken his players and put them in positions to play to their strengths, which is coaching. You know, he's inverted the offense with a little bit with Hauser and Huff, which is good, but he can still run Huff into that mid post and he can post up Hauser. I think that when Kihei defers and really thinks facilitate, I think they're at their very best. I think what teams are doing is they're trying to make Kihei a scorer and staying home, which is what I would do. I'd gap him and keep him in front, and I'd give no help off the shot makers. It's defensively, and I think Murphy's really good. And Walter Tensai comes off the bench; he can make some shots. I think, you know, Beekman's going to be a really terrific player. I thought they were improving defensively, especially their individual defense, about two games ago before, I think it was the Virginia Tech game. And then all of a sudden, they lost their edge a little bit. I'd like to see them just be able to dig down and be a little more physical. Because when I coached in the league and Tony first got in the league, they were physical. I mean, they, you know, and the game's a little different because you can't bump cutters as much. But I'd like to see them a little more physical defensively. I think they're really good. They're hard to play against. They don't turn it over. They don't give you transition buckets. They don't give you second shots. But I'd like to see them a little tougher and a little more physical defensively.
Yeah, I agree with that, Coach. I think that's a little bit of a missing piece for them. You don't have like the Jack Salt who's going to destroy you. that was his job on the floor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you mentioned with Duke and North Carolina, and we touched on them for a second. I've been seeing some people say, all right, you know, this is two kind of rough years for UNC in a row, even though I think UNC is a tournament team. And this year really feels like an anomaly for Duke. But in your opinion, are these years an anomaly for Duke and North Carolina? Are they just going to bounce back? Or is this maybe the one and done kind of coming to roost a little bit?
Well, let's take North Carolina. I think North Carolina is getting better. They have an identity. I mean, the reason I think North Carolina is going to be fine is, look, you know they're going to rebound the ball. You know they're going to punch it in the paint. I think that Kerwin Walton's been key to this team because his shot-making ability and knowing he's going to make shots, he stretches the defense just enough so you can play high-low basketball, you know, which is important. Caleb Love's decision-making is getting a little bit better, not much better. I think Anthony Harris is really important for them because he's just a solid decision-maker and doesn't spit it up and turn it over. I think Carolina is going to be fine. They don't have the break they had in the past. They're not impacting the ball as much defensively, but I think they're going to be fine. And I think they're actually going to be a team that can win. So, and they're going to always get players. Look, Duke and Carolina are always going to get players. You got to balance your classes a little bit. It's so hard now, obviously, because these kids have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I mean, it's more important getting the guys that come that have a chance to be pros to have both feet in while they're there. You know, basically keep your mind where your feet are, basically. Duke, on the other hand, you know, all McDonald's All-Americans aren't created equal. And you know, just the way it is. I mean, you know, they have a class of good players, good freshmen, but that's not Zion Williamson. That's not R.J. Barrett. That's not Ingram. You know, that's not the guys that boom, boom, you know, just they're gone. They're nice players.
Like Jalen, that's been my biggest thing. They just don't look the same, right? Like, sure, they're the All-Americans, but they just don't look as mature, as explosive. It's very strange, right?
To be fair, Mac, no one looks like Zion.
That's right.
To be fair. I mean, Zion is different situation.
Like, I'd have no problem playing this Duke team with my old teams. I can tell you that much.
That's right.
Like, here's for example, Jalen Johnson. I'm looking on this draft stuff. He's like the eighth pick in the draft. Like, the dude played the eighth most minutes in the game yesterday against Notre Dame. The eighth most minutes.
Wow.
And at the end of the game, where 2 weeks ago I thought Matthew Hurt and Jalen Johnson, the end of the game, Duke's going to play through those two guys. And they did a nice job. I forgot who they beat, but they did a really nice job of finishing the game off at the end. Yeah, Jalen Johnson was nowhere to be seen. He played like 15 minutes. So, I mean, I look at Duke. I think Duke has a good recruiting class coming in. Duke's going to continue to get players. You got to get the right guys coming back. The one-and-done teams, when they lost the preseason, when they lost the summer, when they lost the guarantee games, they lost their opportunities to grow. They lost their opportunities to gain confidence. They lost their opportunities to have success, so that obviously when you have the success, especially when you're young, it kind of motivates you to want more and work harder and do the things you need to do. And they lost their opportunities to, and you guys know this, learn how to work. Like, their definition of playing hard and a coach's definition of playing hard are like in two different stratospheres. You know, their definition of being a good teammate and a coach's definition of being a good teammate are in two different stratospheres. So I think those, the Kentuckys, the Dukes, you know, they missed those opportunities to grow as a team. And then, like, the team building stuff that you need, the peer pressure of getting in the gym and doing the extra work. Now, you can't just go over to the practice facility and get shots up. Where, like, and again, I'll use Kentucky as an example just because I've seen it firsthand. Like, there's so much pressure, peer pressure in the Kentucky program that the guys, if you don't go to the gym, you know you're falling behind. And if you fall behind, you're not getting in the game. And you don't have that now. So both of those programs are going to be fine. They're not going anywhere. I do have some concerns about Duke because I just don't think they guard. I mean, 44% from the three in losses, 50% from the two in losses. I mean, come on. I mean, like, check someone. You know, be prideful. And that's the problem. And you know, I'm speaking to the choir here, but I mean, like, the problem we have is, and I'm not saying this generation, but there's so much static around a good player today. And they think just because of their rating, your rating means nothing once you step on campus.
That's right.
I mean, like, once you step on campus, either you can play or you can't play. Either you can help us win or you can't help us win. Either you can compete or you can't compete. And unfortunately, and I had this good friend of mine that coaches at a very high level. He had a situation where he had a player come in and his team was struggling a little bit. And the coach said, well, what do you think the problem is? And this player has no chance to be a pro. He has no chance. All right. He goes, coach, you know, we're only here for 7 months. So, it's kind of hard to be all in. There's the problem. See, because there's so much pressure on these guys, instead of running their own race, instead of enjoying the moment and understanding this is going to be the best time of their life, instead of really kind of taking time to smell the roses, all right, they're so far ahead of themselves. See, the next league, whether it's a WNBA, whether it's the NFL, whether it's, you know, the NBA, is a most exclusive club. It's not for everyone. And unfortunately, we have a society when it comes to basketball and our culture in basketball to think that it's a rite of passage. And that's what makes it hard for Duke that's relying on freshmen to be the team that maybe Mike wants them to be.
That's nuts. I love that. And thank you for breaking that down, especially when we're looking at, you know, a couple of programs, Duke and Kentucky, who, you know, have just thrived on the one and done and why that's hurt. I think that's very intuitive for our listeners. And you know, maybe some people out there understand that, but until you spell it out, I think it's very difficult. Let's transition to a new blog.
Is that the listeners or listener?
Right.
Well, the listener.
Mom and Kelly's mom, so it's
yeah.
You, so it's listener.
Our moms, they're in on it, Coach.
Hey, the world's greatest podcast is having the same issues.
That's right. But I want to move to a new blood. We talked about some some of the blue bloods there. And just how impressive has it been what Coach Leonard Hamilton has done there? He's only in his 30s. You know, he looks so good and somehow has done a remarkable job at FSU.
I love Ham. And by the way, Ham's a very funny dude, by the way.
Hilarious. I love when he's on Packer and Durham. It's like a little, you get to peel back the curtain. He's so funny.
He's so funny. And you're right. It's like, it's ridiculous. The guy's 100 years old. He looks 30. I mean, the guy never ages. It's incredible. Talk about a guy who's comfortable in his own skin. I mean, he's seen the world change. Let's be honest. I mean, what he's seen, and he's built bridges for other guys. You know, we talk about the great pioneers for African-American coaches. And obviously, you know, we've got great ones. We just lost Coach Cheney and Coach Thompson recently, Coach Graveling, who was just my brother played for at Washington State, who was incredible in terms of building bridges for others. But Coach Ham's right up there. And what Coach Ham has been able to do and the road he's traveled has been incredible. But he's so comfortable. He's got great continuity in the staff, which is so important, he appeals to anyone and everyone because he's so genuine. Those guys believe in him, trust him, and play for him. And that's, man, I'll tell you one thing. That's what it's all about. When you have a coach that you believe in, trust, you're going to play for him. Like, I always say that when if you don't have a relationship with your players, you'll win the games you're supposed to win, but you won't win the games you need to win. And Ham, they win the games they need to win because he's in it with them and they're in it with him. And I think that's just really, really important in coaching today. But he's a terrific coach. He's an incredible person. He has great perspective on things. He's like a big brother, a dad, an uncle, a grandpa. I mean, he's a little bit of everything. And I love their team. I mean, like, they played one game without Scotty Barnes. Boom, they win. They played the next game without Mike Polite. The second, boom, they win. Never makes an excuse. They play 10 guys and different guys step up. All of a sudden, Wyatt Wilkes is, you know, comes off. He probably wasn't even on the scouting report. Comes off.
Right.
And they're always ready. The guys that come in are always ready. So, you know, I just think he's tremendous. He's so good for the game. He's so good for those kids. He's unaffected by anything that's going on around him. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He just continues to coach his team.
No doubt, Coach. All right, last one for you. We'll let you run after this. We've talked about Virginia, Florida State, some of these teams that are probably going to be, like you said, not one or two seeds, but maybe three, four, five. The middle of the pack of the ACC, these teams that we feel pretty good about making the tournament, Clemson, Louisville, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, let's say those four. Of the middle of the pack there, which of those teams, you got to pick one, which of those do you think can make the deepest run in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, that's interesting. I would say North Carolina because they do one thing extremely well. And that's they can rebound the ball. When you rebound 40% of your misses, now they do miss a lot.
True. You know what Pat Summitt says, rebounding wins championships.
That's right.
they still have the greatest room for growth. You know, where like I think Virginia Tech, what Mike's done is incredible, absolutely incredible. I think Clemson at times can get stuck offensively and, you know, have to rely on their defense to some extent. I think Louisville and Clemson's got the best resume of all of them, not even close. I mean, their wins are
crazy.
You know, Purdue and Maryland and Louisville and Florida State. I mean, you go right down the list. I mean, their wins are great. Alabama. But Carolina, in terms of where they are now, if they can stay off pause, now that's a big thing. They've got a month to continue to improve their guard play. They've got a month to work on their space. And they've got a month to improve their impact defensively to make their opponents feel them a little bit. They've got a month to improve their transition game. But they've got things that no one else has. I mean, they've got an ability to dominate the game in the paint. And if you watch the way Garrison Brooks defended against Duke on the perimeter against Matthew Hurt, that was impressive. It was really impressive. So I would say Carolina has the greatest opportunity. I think that Virginia Tech is the toughest of the group.
I love it, Coach. And thank you so much for your time. This was a big pleasure. Hopefully our 1 and 2 listeners will really enjoy this. You're the best, Coach. Thanks for joining us.
Well, if Luke Hancock can be on the pod, I've got to be on the pod. I mean, Luke. I mean, who's better than Luke? He's the most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament.
Come on.
I mean, he's a big shot. I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts.
No. Thank you again. We really appreciate it.
But you guys stay safe.
All right, guys, that was it from our Traeger Grills Guest of the Week. Like we told you on the front end, Coach was so much fun, so much wisdom. Really, honestly, it made me feel better about us still being in this pandemic, to be honest with you. The basketball conversation was great, but just hearing his observations, his insight, and just really where he is mentally about this thing, it's all about perspective. And listen, we've all been affected in different ways, and we all think it's terrible. But, you know, there's people who are dealing with way worse things than we are. It was fun to hear that. And again, I know this segment always makes you guys hungry. So do yourself a favor and go buy a Traeger grill. And once you do, download their Traeger app or find them on social media. They are always posting fun recipes. If you guys saw it Super Bowl weekend, they were flooding social media with all kinds of fun stuff. It was really cool to just see what people are doing out there on their Traeger. I honestly find myself just looking at the app, looking at their social media, just dreaming up what I'm going to cook next on my 885 Ironwood. But that's enough of Traeger. I'm starting to drool over here, Kelly. Let's get to our ACC of the Week, brought to you by our great friends at Sunshine Beverages. Kelly, you start us off with your athlete.
All right. My athlete of the week is the girl who I have called the queen of the Atlantic Coast Conference, and it's Dana Evans. This week, she casually averaged 26.3 points per game, all right? Against NC State, 29 points, hit 5 threes. Against Boston College, 23 points, hit 3 threes, had 5 assists in that game. Against Notre Dame, 27 points, 4 threes, had 5 assists in that game. She was also 13 of 14 from the free throw line throughout the week. She was incredible. I think she is slowly moving into that leader spot for National Player of the Year. Paige Becker is at UConn, is also in that discussion.
Yeah, I was going to say, Paige says hello.
Oh, she is. She is. But we'll see how these two finish. And, you know, as much as, like, the Big East used to be a great basketball conference, it just isn't right now. She can go for 30, like it's no sweat, against St. John's and all these teams. Dana's playing in the ACC. I think it's a little bit of a different ball game there. But my athlete of the week is Dana Evans from Louisville.
I completely agree with you there, and for all those reasons. My athlete, I'm going to the men's side, Caleb Love, UNC. You guys heard us talking about him so much in the last episode against Duke, a school where he wanted to go. He wanted to play for Duke. They said, no thanks, we're good. He said, okay, I'll go to UNC and drop 25 on you guys. Go 4 for 5 from the three-point line, 7 assists. I thought he played the most minutes in the game, but Brooks, he did not leave the floor. He was motivated. He played very well. But Caleb Love, giving UNC that ultimate boost, 25 points, he is my athlete of the week.
Mac, did you plan that the guy with last name Love is your athlete of the week on Valentine's Day week?
See what I'm saying? It's Valentine's weekend. Come on.
I knew you were on top of that. All right, my coach of the week this week is Mike Bray from Notre Dame. They just got a big win over Duke on Tuesday night. Won that game and played well, hit a big three at the end to win it. They were down 23-8 to start the game and came back. And here is a stat. I know this may be a crazy stat, but I'm going to put it with my Mike Bray coach of the week. Coach K is 32-7 versus his assistants. 6 of those 7 losses have come from Mike Bray. 1 came from Jeff Capel this year. Mac, I think you had that actually in your craziness.
Yeah, first player to ever beat Coach
right,
K.
Right. Mike Bray has had some success against Coach K. So that's my coach of the week.
You got crazy coaching right there. You dropped a little bit of both. I love it. My coach of the week, Brad Brownell from Clemson. Ooh, coach mentioned it in his interview. Just, I mean, really a great job. I mean, your team starts off hot. You're ranked in the country. You go on a terrible, maybe one of the worst losing streaks, losing skids that we've seen in quite some time, where you're just getting punished. And what do? You have to dig your way out of it. And Coach Brownell and that staff and those players have done a tremendous job getting their team right back. Huge bounce back week, 2 massive wins. So I'm going Brad Brownell, Clemson, for my coach of the week.
I agree, Mac. Excellent pick. All right, my craziness of the week. I'm about to get on a little bit of a soapbox here. All right, because I'm mad about this, Mac. Here's my craziness. Elizabeth Kitley, center for the Virginia Tech Hokies. She is averaging 18.9 points per game and 11.4 rebounds per game. A double-double and change, all right? She's third in the ACC in scoring. She's third in the ACC in rebounding. But she was not named a top 10 finalist for the Lisa Leslie Award, which is an award given annually to the nation's best center. What? What are we doing, people? What are we doing? I feel like that guy, that soccer analyst, that GIF. What are we doing? What are we doing? This is a massive snub, and I wanted to bring some light to it because I thought it was absurd. That is my craziness of the week, because it is crazy to not have Liz Kitley on your top 10 list for the nation's best center.
Listen, I told you guys this on Tuesday. I have a personal vendetta against the AP poll voters in football. Kelly now has that same vendetta with Lisa Leslie Award.
I'll add this, though. Coach McGraw told me she is on the committee.
Who'd she vote for?
And she had Kitley on her top 10 list. So my vendetta does not extend to Coach McGraw.
That's right. I'm glad you cleared that up. My crazy, I'm going a little bit outside of the ACC, but I'm going to bring it back in. And I'm going on the women's basketball side. 461,000 viewers for the women's basketball game featuring number 2 UConn, who got the big dub over number 1 U of SC. That is the most watched women's game ever for FS1 history. Just, I mean, remarkable that all those eyeballs tuning in for, you know, a non-championship, a non-postseason
regular season
type game, regular season. And this is where I'm bringing it back to the ACC. Our very own Monica McNutt was on the call, did a great job. Kelly, you and I were texting back and forth. She does a good job of just putting her flavor into calling a normal game. And it's fun. It's exciting. So it's really cool for Mon to be a part of history and be a part of one of the most watched women's games ever.
Mac, I'm so glad you brought that up. I also saw that the men's game afterwards, it was a Big Ten game, was under the 400 mark.
And everybody checked out.
It had less viewers. People were like, I'm out. That's what I did.
Yeah.
But shout out.
We saw the great game and we're out of here.
Yeah. Shout out to Mon. I know, for example, you and EJ have become very close. Mon has literally become one of my best friends. So I love Mon. She is a great human. She deserves that opportunity. And I thought she nailed it. She just did a great job.
I completely agree. And it's fun to see that sports can bring people together like nothing else. And it's cool. You and I are a direct testament of that with who we've met through this business and people we consider great friends.
100%. Our ACC of the week is brought to you by Sunshine. Guys, anytime I've had a busy morning, like right now, and still have a long day ahead of me, I want an easy, delicious boost of energy, but not by just overloading on caffeine. So I grab a can of Sunshine. Let me tell you, the sparkling energy waters, they are so light and they taste so good. Zero sugar, zero calories, and they come in great flavors like citrus lime, lotus pear, and my personal favorite, the pomegranate acai. So forget the boost and crash cycle. You want that feel-good energy. Get Sunshine today at your local Publix, QT, or even better, go online at drinkthesunshine.com. Use our code ACC10 at checkout to save 10% on your order. All right, our podcast today produced by one of our great friends, Richmond Weaver. So check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, where he interviews a bunch of great guests about the sports world and relationships that they've made and the impact of sports on their lives. Wherever you get your podcast, that podcast is called Rich Take on Sports.
Guys, what a fun episode. Thank you for tuning in. Another great week of hoops. There'll be a great weekend, of course. Like I said, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Gramlich and Mac Lane, brought to you by our great friends at Traeger Grills. Thank you, Coach, for joining us. If you guys haven't already, go over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop a little rating, a little review. It's great to hear from you guys. But until next time, we'll see y'all.